What's going on, everybody? Dr. Chris Featherstone here for yet another episode of the Legion of Raw. I am here with the former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, former WWE head writer right there. This is Vince Russo. How are you, my man?
I am doing okay.
All right, Chris, man. It's a little somber there, man. Please explain.
See, bro, I gotta be so careful about what I say on this show, because I don't hold anything back on this show, because sometimes I think it's just you and me talking.
Yeah.
And then the next day, everything I said, Raju puts out there to the entire world.
That's
and
a good point.
I know what I'm about to say. This is a headline for Raju. And I know I'm going to get all kinds of heat for it. But you know what, bro? I've been reveling in heat since 1991 in the wrestling business.
You got the big bucks, man.
Yeah, so what is that, 33 years? So heat doesn't really bother me none.
Heat just makes you cozy in the bed at night.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Chris, I'm watching this show, and bro, let me just say this up front, okay? If you are a fan of wrestling in 2024 and you absolutely love fake wrestling matches, then this show is off the charts. Mm-hmm. If it's fake wrestling matches you want, bro, 5-star matches, 6-star matches, man, this is the show for you. If you are a story character guy, you just can't wait for it to be over. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, it's that simple. And I am a story character guy, Chris, and I know you are too, for the most part. Mm-hmm. But you know, as I'm waiting for these, bro, all these King of the Ring tournament matches that they have with no story, no nothing. Bro, we've been saying this for years now, Chris. This is just a house show. It's just wrestling matches. And if wrestling matches is your cup of tea, great. Yeah. I got a couple big questions about this show that I will bring up later on. But I'm watching this show tonight, and like, especially to me, Michael Cole is the one that comes across more guilty of this than anybody. Hmm. Okay. And Chris, this is, you know, Raju, here you go, bro, because you want headlines. Here you go. You know, bro, I got to tell you, I worked for Vince McMahon, okay? And I had my differences with Vince McMahon. And I had my ups and downs with Vince McMahon. And I wound up leaving the company because I found out firsthand, and Chris, you would appreciate this because you are Chris Family Guy, as am I. Once Vince McMahon made it clear to me he didn't give a crap about me, my kids, my wife, my family, I was done. I was done because family comes first with me. However, bro, I will never forget, not only as an employee and working for the man, but I'm talking about as a fan. The WWF the WWE is Vince McMahon. This guy built this company. Now, bro, don't get me wrong. You know, throughout his 50 years, he had great talent. He had great people behind the scenes. He had great announcers. You know, he surrounded himself with great people. But make no bones about it, bro. It was Vince McMahon that rolled the dice, mortgaged everything, and literally could have been flat broke, him and a very young Linda. Not me, not Kevin Dunn, not Austin, not Rock, Vince. And this was Vince's company and Vince's baby, whether you liked it or not.
Sure.
And Vince had a certain way and a certain style that he did things. And bro, yes, you were not going to agree with everything. Bro, who agrees with every decision their boss makes? Nobody. Nobody. But Vince made it clear that, you know, he was the boss. This is his baby, and we're going to do it my way. And that's the way the company was run. Now, bro, listen, make no bones about it, man. Before all the Janelle Grant stuff and the NDAs and all that stuff, bro, listen. Father Time was catching up with Vince. Okay, Vince is a lot older than me. And guys, I could tell you firsthand, Father Time is catching up with me. Okay, Father Time catches up with you. So no question about it, bro. No question the last 10 years. Vince McMahon was losing his edge. I mean, there is absolutely no question. I don't think anybody would question that. He was losing his edge. He was really getting out of touch. He just wasn't with the times, what was happening around him. And yeah, bro, there needed to be some kind of a change. And I was the first one yelling and screaming that they need to get rid of the entire old guard, and it needs to be an entertainment company to step in and look at this product totally differently. I was the first one saying that. But, bro, they've totally embraced Vince McMahon not being there. I don't think there is one person in that company that has shed a tear of Vince McMahon not being there. Now, I think guys like Cena feel it. I think to some extent, guys like Rock, guys like Taker, the guys that Vince made, because they know, bro, Cena would not be a movie star. Brock Lesnar would not be a multimillionaire. Those guys know that.
Yep.
So there's a part of those guys that, like, bro, doing it without Vince around is just not the same. But I don't know, bro. Like, I use Michael Cole as like the spokesperson. They just seemed to have done and buried Vince McMahon. No mention of them, no respect. They are totally on to their own new thing. Bro, believe me, I'm sure Michael Cole, more than anybody, is reveling in the fact that he no longer has that lunatic in his ear during every Raw, because Vince was a lunatic in their ear. He was, bro. I know he was. But he was the boss. And man, bro, I'm seeing video footage of Vince McMahon, old, frail, can hardly walk. I'm seeing Stephanie putting over Triple H, nothing about her old man. And I'm just sitting here, and Chris, I am a firm believer, and I think you will agree with me. In the case with Janelle Grant and Vince, first of all, I am a firm believer is, and you are innocent until proven guilty. Number one.
Yep.
Number two, as far as Janelle Grant goes, you are not a liar until proven to be a liar.
Yeah.
Okay, so like both sides of this, I'm wide open to, bro, wide open to this. But with that being said, Chris, I'm just as all these people are reveling in Vince not being there and this new way of doing business, and I'm saying to myself, bro, what if Vince is found not guilty? What if we don't know. So in this case, Chris, there's a lot of sensationalism.
Sure.
There's a lot of stuff that, like, listen, man, Chris, when you work in the business, okay, and you're around all these workers, it's very, very hard to be worked because you're around wrestlers so often, bro, and they're con men and they're politicians and they're BS artists, bro. And all they care about is themselves. And once you understand that, bro, you become hip to it. So you don't get worked. And I look at Vince McMahon and I look at this case and, like, man, there is a lot of really sensational stuff. Bro, I was connected to this guy's hip. So, like, either I was totally worked and I never saw it, or I was just some naive, gullible person that maybe did not want to see it. But I'm just looking today, the way that they literally, remember the buried alive matches? This company has buried Vince McMahon alive. He is still alive, bro, and they've buried him. They've run him over, backed the truck up, run him over again, backed the truck up, so totally separated themselves from this guy, and they're loving it, bro, and they're gloating about it. You can see it, and I'm like, bro, what if this poor, miserable old man is found not guilty? Do people apologize? Do people go back and give him the credit he deserves? Bro, Michael Cole's been there 30-something years because of Vince McMahon.
Sure.
Not because of Michael Cole, because of Vince McMahon. Look at Jerry Lawler, bro. His run just came to an end. Lawler was there for over 30 years. Thanks to Vince McMahon. Bro, there are a lot of people that made a lot of money, including Michael Cole. A lot of money, bro, because of Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And I just feel, bro, unless these people know something I don't, I just feel, man, you have done and buried this guy before the dude even got his day in court, bro.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the WWE legal team is and PR team is saying just no mention of Vince during the allegations. That's the one of the first things I think of is let's not add anything else to any type of allegations as far as Vince McMahon, because Pat McAfee, he doesn't have a lot of filters, so he can tend to just fly off and say things. So I'm wondering if there's like certain restrictions that they have in the announce team to not mention his name. So that's the only thing I can think of as far as
Chris. That's a great point, but I'm not even just talking about that. I'm talking about like their attitude. You can just tell they're so happy he's not around. Every freaking interview, somebody's saying it. I've read Becky Lynch say it. I've read Kevin Owens say, bro, none of these people would have had a job if it wasn't for Vince's company. This was not Triple H's company. This was Vince's company. And I swear to God, bro, I must read an interview at least once a week with somebody saying how much better the place is without Vince McMahon. So I'm not even talking about, bro, putting him over, giving him his just desserts. What you're saying is probably 100% correct, Chris. But don't, my God, bro, like they're making it so obvious that they love not having the guy around. Bro, everybody would love not having their boss around. Everybody would be able, would love to go to worse every day, and all of a sudden the boss isn't there.
Yeah.
But it's like, my God, bro, just understand for 1 minute, you would not have what you have, whether he's guilty of these things or not. You would not have what you have if it wasn't for Vince McMahon, bro.
Yeah, if I'm understanding you correctly, I think what you're conveying here is that there has been a lot of gloating on this new Triple H era. You know, I mean, and the overemphasis of this new era, this overemphasis of the Triple H is our savior type of mentality that we had with the beginning of WrestleMania both nights, and this Triple H era that's been going on, the Paul Levesque era, they've even been saying that, you know, within weeks. It does seem like it's like a continuous gut punch to.
Yeah.
You that's know, how I feel. Yeah. So that's what I'm understanding. Yeah.
Let me give you a perfect example. Then I'm going to let you go on. I just want to give you a perfect example. Like, you know, same with Kevin Dunn. I'm going to put Kevin Dunn as a part of Vince because they were one. And bro, those freaking guys made everybody look good. Forget it. But bro, you hear, oh my God, how great visually the show looks. And oh my God, these are all shots at Kevin Dunn. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Chris, did you watch the whole show?
Of Raw?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chris,
I'll fast forward through a few parts. But
okay, I don't know if you noticed, but when we came back from that last commercial break, the cameraman was starting like about 10 rows back of the ringside seats. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, scanned everything and took the camera to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, bro, in that shot, he was showing a crap load of empty seats that people left because they couldn't sit there for 3 hours. Yeah. So while he's showing this beautiful shot, bro, I'm going to start from the 10th row. And then I'm going to sweep around. What did we see, bro? We saw empty seats. Bro, Kevin Dunn. Mm-hmm. If Kevin Dunn was blind, he would have known never, ever to do that. Bro, Chris, do you know when I first started at the WWE magazine, we could not put shots, pictures in the magazine where you saw an empty part of the arena.
Mm.
It could have been the best picture. If you saw empty seats, you could not use the picture.
Mm.
Kevin Dunn would have saw immediately, man, a lot of those ringside seats are empty. But what will they tell you today, bro? That's what I'm talking about. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to use that as an example.
Yeah, to your point on that, one thing that I really, really have noticed is that running shot through Gorilla now.
You
see that? Like they do that all the time. Punk did it tonight. Like they do like a running shot. Every time I see that, I'm thinking like Vince would never allow that running shot through Gorilla, like seeing the whole position and seeing that whole spot there. That was like, you know, Vince McMahon's sacred ground there, you know? And so it's interesting that Triple H is allowing that running shot from the back. Cause a lot of times what they would do is they would do some back shot sometimes, and then they would stop as the person's going through the curtain and then come back as the person's coming out the ramp. They wouldn't show Gorilla.
Well, Chris, can I tell you something and tell me if I'm wrong? They keep doing that shot, and they're doing the shot live, and it's just going to be just like tonight. All the this is a great shot visually, but we're going to see how many people left because they can't sit here for 3 hours. Within weeks, you're going to see the baby face and the heel going over their match. But Chris, you know what? Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
They won't care.
No,
So what? They won't. Vince McMahon would have probably fired somebody if that happened. Mm. You're going to see Gunther and Sheamus going over their match, and they won't even care, bro. Mm. They won't even care.
So there'll be two people backstage.
Yeah, you're going to see it. Absolutely. Absolutely, bro. And they won't. They won't even care. It won't even matter.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it is a change of it is a passing of the guard kind of forcefully. I mean, you know, if it was up to Vince, he definitely would still be there. It's definitely a changing of the guard, but is it changed for the better? I mean, like, just because it's a fresh car smell doesn't mean the car is better, you know, overall. And ultimately, I think everybody likes that fresh car smell feel, but when that fresh car smell starts to deteriorate, the same type of criticism applies for Triple H as much as it has Vince McMahon. It's just the freshness and the newness that people are being acquainted to. But pro wrestling fans were fickle, man. I mean, just because it's, you know, Triple H, that doesn't mean anything. Because at the end of the day, in 2 years, I mean, people start even saying it now. I mean, even people in the chat room, people are getting tired of this Triple H era. They're saying fire Triple H and we want Vince back. After Triple H being the savior for a while, that's just how wrestling fans are, man. They're fickle and they have short attention spans. Yeah. And that's just the way of the land when it comes to pro wrestling.
And just another thing tonight too, Chris, that I think made me like subliminally feel this way, that WrestleMania Vegas spot with Triple H.
Yep.
I don't know where your wrestling is hot. Oh my, bro, I'm like, bro, the guy's 80, whatever he is. Mm. Do we have to like just shove his face? Bro, you know what? When they used to, I doubt anybody does this anymore, Chris. But when I was growing up and you had a little puppy and the little puppy crapped in the house, what did you do, bro? Yes. Yes, bro. You put the little puppy's head. You didn't stick his nose in the poop, but you made him smell the poop to know not to poop. That's what I feel like. Okay, bro. We get it. Or okay, I get it. You got me to the point of freaking feeling sorry for this guy. Like, seriously, can we at least let this thing play out and see what happens? Okay, yeah. Bro. Like, it's a new era. It's Triple H. Oh my God, bro. Like,
yeah, you know, I've got a bunch of good relationships with people backstage in the WWE, and just from what I've been told across the board, it's a different feel. It's more relaxed. It's more peaceful. But I will say though, there is something with that of you can't knock the shoulders that you're standing on. You know, I mean, you can't knock down the shoulders that you're standing on. And WWE is based on the shoulders of Vince McMahon, regardless. There was a time where characters mattered. Everything was going and cylinders were running and all that. You know, during Attitude Era, during your time, man, just the cylinders were firing. Vince Austin versus McMahon is arguably the best rivalry in WWE history. You know, I mean, that was the rivalry that really transcended the business as far as, you know, beating Nitro and having that more international feel with those numbers and things like that. Like, yes, Hogan Andre was major, and the numbers reflected that. But as far as just money and international deals and stuff like that, as far as business, Austin McMahon was really the pivotal feud that transcended the business as far as WWE success is concerned versus WCW. So we can never knock that, man. We can never knock that. I mean, Vince McMahon can be the most devilish person, you know, known to man. But at the same time, he did what he did as far as the WWE is concerned. It's true. You know what I mean? And one thing I hope doesn't happen, again, we don't know what's going to happen. I know that everything's going to be on pause for a while. You know, could this Janelle Grant thing even block him from being in the WWE Hall of Fame? You know what I mean? Something like that. I think if there is some guilty plea here, I think it'll be he'll be blacklisted just across the board in WWE, and probably won't even be acknowledged, man. Yeah. So,
well, Chris, I want to bring something up you said, because I was writing this down. So see, Chris, I'm old. Like, when you say something, I got to write it down.
No worries, man.
When you said, I know some people there and it's lax, more lax than peaceful. Mm-hmm. Bro, can I explain something to people? Work ain't supposed to be lax and peaceful, bro. That's why it's called work. Mm. You don't go on vacation, bro. You go to work. Mm. Work's not supposed to be laxed and peaceful. It's supposed to be work. And when Vince, bro, I even saw Bubba talking about it. And I love Bubba, bro. And that's another thing, man. My God, Raju wrote what I said about the Bubba and Devon at you know, showing up. And I'm like, oh, bro, this dude's going to free. My phone's going to go off now any second. But I'll say,
come on, Raju, don't put more heat on Vince than what he already has. Again,
I was reading Bubba this week. Oh, it's a lot. You know, people are walking on eggshells, this and that. Bro, is it a bad thing to be walking on eggshells? You're supposed to walk on eggshells. It is work, bro. If you don't perform, you are gone. Yeah. You're supposed to be nervous, bro. You're supposed to be walking on eggshells, bro. You're not going there. You're not going to work to have a party, Chris.
I think that there's a level of comfort that should be at work, though. Like, I do think working hard is important. I mean, I'm a very hardworking person. You know, I can't go into therapy laxed. You know, I mean, I can't just act like I don't care to my clients. But at the same time, I do think if an atmosphere, you know, talking about synergy and, you know, occupational psychology, there's all types of studies within IO psychology as far as just better work environments and how that causes better productivity. I do think stuff like that, you know, is important. But at the same time, if you're feeling like you can just come and just kind of, you know, put the recliner back and just kind of sit around and do nothing or just chill, that's a different type of feel. But I think what the overall environment is now, what people are trying to say is that they can feel like they can do their job without a hawk just continuing to watch over them. Did you ever feel like Vince was always watching over you?
Never. Well, that's good. Bro, here's the bottom line, Chris. Here's the bottom line. As long as I performed, there wasn't a problem.
Okay.
Bottom line, as long as I performed, there wasn't a problem. And that's what work should be.
Sure, sure.
That's what it should be, bro. You perform, there should be no issues. You don't perform, the boss got to come down on
you. And I agree with that. Do you think, because, you know, it's been over 20 years since you've been there, do you think Vince McMahon could have gotten worse and more aggressive in his just
bro, mentality? I think he got worse. I think he changed a lot when me and Ed left.
Gotcha.
Because regardless of what anybody wants to say and what anybody wants to believe, bro, me and Ed were writing the entire show. Mm. And he didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And I think after that, bro, when we left, I think two things happened. Number one, he wasn't going to trust or be comfortable with anybody. Mm-hmm. And number two, he was not going to give like two writers the power over the show that we had. That's why he went from two writers to 22 writers. Sure. That's exactly why he went, because no two writers were ever going to get that power again because we left him. So there's no question in my mind that he changed. Yeah.
WWE really experienced a steady decline in numbers. Do you think, based on when you were there, how important were numbers coming in? Like when Vince McMahon would see ratings come in weekly, how important was that to Vince McMahon seeing those numbers?
He never panicked, bro. But he never panicked because I think he had extreme confidence in what we were doing. Mm. Now, once Russo and Ferrara left, I don't know if he had that same confidence in the people that were writing the show. I don't know. I think that's why he got more involved, because he didn't. Mm-hmm. Bro, I'll never forget when it was just me writing the show. Vince said to me, Vince, this is when the company's starting to boom with the Attitude Era. This is what he said to me, bro. This is 1997. Vince, I don't want to write the show anymore. I don't have time to get involved in the creative anymore. That's when Ferrara got hired. Mm. But in 1997, Vince said, I want hands off when it comes to creative. All of a sudden, bro, when we left, he was all over it again. And that's because he didn't have the confidence in the people he had there, including his own daughter, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's from what I've known from other people telling me and you know, talking to you as well, you know, Vince McMahon is a very prideful guy. You know, I mean, just really, really standing up on achieving and very success driven. There's got to be a punch to your pride of continuing to see those numbers dwindle down over the years, year after year.
Absolutely.
I mean, going from 6 million people to 1.5 million, you know what I mean? There's got to be something there within the psyche as far as just, and I'm wondering, like, for someone to, there's certain people who are near his age or around his age that doesn't look as aged as he is. A lot of that age, a lot of this aging that you see in Vince McMahon now, that's often a sign of heavy stress.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering, like, over the past 10 years, because we really started to see it over the past probably 7 or so years. I'm just wondering, seeing those numbers dwindle every single week, I'm wondering if all the stress compiled up is started to get to him in a way that he just looked different.
I'll tell you what I think the real stress is. Chris, let's be honest. When you think about over the years, how many millions and not millions, how many hundreds, maybe thousands of millionaires Vince McMahon made. Mm. And bro, he didn't just make the performer a millionaire. Their families were well off.
Sure.
They lived in nice houses, in nice neighborhoods. The wrestlers could buy their kids whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to collect cars, they collect cars. He made a lot of people a lot of money.
Yep.
And bro, I bet you he is sitting there alone today. Mm. And you could count on one hand how many people he's hearing from. Mm. I bet you, Chris, that's the real stress.
When
all these people, bro, that he made so much money for them and their families, and now he's sitting there almost 80 years old, mm-hmm. and there's probably a handful of people.
Yeah,
that I bet you that more than anything brings out a tremendous amount of stress.
I can absolutely see that. My question to you, following that though, Vince, is that the fruit that he's eating from, the trees that he's eating from, that he planted the seeds of, though, as far as the relationships that he's had with people, as far as being so assertive and being so domineering, you know what I mean?
Probably,
and being so, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I can see.
Absolutely. I mean, I go back to my last encounter with him. And, you know, he wanted me to review some of the shows for, he was like, after everything that I did and I accomplished, he wanted me to, it was almost like he wanted me to audition to be a writer again. Mm-hmm. Like, he wanted me to watch Raw and critique Raw for a couple of weeks. First of all, bro, I knew if I did that, no matter what I said, he was going to bury me. Right. Why? So in his mind, after all these years, he can convince himself that it was all him and not Vince Russo. So I knew immediately, no matter what I came up with and no matter what I wrote, he was going to bury to justify, you see, it was never Russo. It was always me.
Right.
And I had no problem with that. But I wasn't going to do it for free.
Right.
And the minute I said that to him, Vince, I'm not some jabroni out of, I'm not doing this for free. Bro, he cut a promo on me. And I can I tell you something, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
I never fired back. I never said a word. He got the last word telling me what a failure I was at WCW, this, that, and the other thing. And I just sat there, Chris, and this is what I said. This is what I said. Why's it got to be this way, bro? Like, what, why do you have to make it this way? It doesn't have to be this way, but yes, Chris. So the answer to what you're saying is 100% yes.
Yeah. It seems like he was trying to gaslight you, you know, in that regard. And unfortunately, someone who with narcissistic tendencies, and I mean, it just makes sense to me, you know, someone who didn't really have a relationship with his father growing up. He wants that usurp of power. He wants that dominant type of power trip because he wants to have that control over people because he felt insecure growing up. It makes perfect sense to me clinically, you know, from a psychological standpoint of why he did what he did, of why narcissistic tendencies started to really start to swell up early on in his life, and why and how he felt how he had power over a lot of the relationships, that he was the one steering the ship, that he was the one having that type of manipulation and mind control and power trip over people. It made a lot of sense. So I can also see from the people in the back of saying, like, I get to exhale now and not have to sneeze, you know, and basically get buried by heat for sneezing or wearing a coat in the wintertime. You know what I mean? Like Vince never did, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that is just pride, man. And it's like pride can only go, you know, pride come before destruction, you know, as the Bible would say, and a haughty spirit before a fall, you know what I mean? And so I think at the end of the day, when it comes to stuff like that, we are seeing the fruit of the relationships that Vince McMahon built. I think you can have two right answers at the same time. I do think there's a balance of let's not completely blacklist Vince McMahon for what he created, you know, until last year, right? But I do think that there is type of a breath of fresh air when it comes to relationships and just the overall aura, you know, in the back, the synergy, which all those positively affect or negatively affect workplace environment, which is huge when it comes to just overall occupational psychology. So stuff like that is just really important. And so, yeah, good discussion as far as Vince McMahon is concerned. And clearly, there's a lot of people here that are having some really good conversations here. So thank you, chat, for doing that as well. All right, we got Travis Van Dusen, 199. He just likes the show. So thank you for your contribution. We got David Duffett, $2. Gunta wins. I can eat Lucky Charms tomorrow. Vince Gunta was the. This is the
man, bro. I don't know if I've ever seen a match in my life where a wrestler was gassed to the gills. Bro. Yeah. Sheamus was. Yeah. I've never ever seen a wrestler that gassed in a match, bro.
Yeah, it was.
Woo! Yeah. Gassed.
Do you think picking up the extra LBs had a lot to do with that?
Bro, see, again, Chris, the way my mind works, that's a rib.
Mm.
They didn't have to make them out. They know the guy's out of shape. They know he's put on an extra LBs. And what do they do, bro? That's how that company works, because they know he's going to get blown up and he's going to expose himself And that's exactly what happened. Bro, if they wanted to protect him, that's going to be a 10-minute match. Mm. Okay. Obviously, they didn't want to protect him.
Is that their way of indirectly saying, hey, you better pick up this cardio up again? Yes. This ring,
one,
you know, this ring got a cardio.
1,000%. And keep in mind, they are giving, before the match, they're giving Gunther the instructions to run him around. People think I'm crazy when I say, bro, this is how it works. Bro, I remember, bro, one of the reasons Ronnie and Don Harris left the WWE was because Vince was having some contractual problems with LOD, and they were instructed to shoot on LOD in a match and beat the crap out of them. And Ronnie and Donnie said, we're not doing that. They're our friends. We're not doing that. And it cost them their jobs.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. You guys think this stuff doesn't happen. It happens, and it's been happening for the last 50 years.
Yeah. Lawless, $5. None of these NXT call-ups are over. Literally zero reaction during their entrance.
Bro, can I talk? Can I just... Again, we're talking about, oh, it's so great without Vince now. So, bro, they do a package on this Lyra. How do you pronounce her last name, bro?
Valkyria.
How do you say her whole name?
Lyra Valkyria.
Lyra Valkyria. They do this whole package on it, Chris. So I'm watching this whole package and I'm like, okay, bro, what did I learn from that package? Right. Well, I learned she's a wrestler like all the other. What is the point of doing a package on somebody when you're just going to tell me they're a wrestler?
100% agree with
that. That's all you told me, bro. She was a wrestler like all the other female wrestlers I saw on the show today. So there was absolutely nothing. Why would you do that, Chris?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. See, here's my thing with the other packets, though. I like Ilya Dragunov. He looks tough. He looks legit. I just wish that they would have done that for more weeks, though. Like, he doesn't need this King of the Ring. I think the way that we saw him, like, open up on the main event, he looked tough. He, you know, the H-bomb, the straight shots. I think that stuff could have worked, and I liked his promo. I liked his video package, but I just think, like, why do a video package to someone who's on the card, who already got introduced, you know, as someone who's coming up to the main roster? That's killing the element of mystique there. Like, the one big thing about pro wrestling, guess what? It's scripted, is choreographed, and you got to slap your leg to make shots look, you know, sound real. We do know that. But the big thing is that it's a comic book come to life. So you got to build these characters up, man. When you're doing these video packages, give us an element of mystique. Don't have him be on television for several weeks. Continue to give us these video promos of, like, man, like, okay, perception is reality as far as how you make it. And so if they're perceiving this guy to be big and important, guess what? He's going to be viewed as big as and important, no matter what size he is. Yep. So if you keep giving him these video promos every week and not show up till Scotland or not show up to, you know, something like that or a big event, you'll make him look bigger. But if you're doing a video package just for him to go over Ricochet in the tournament, which he might lose, you're already diminishing his value by doing stuff like that.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
You got Taval, $5. Russo guessed right on Backlash, 100%. What did you guess right?
I guess just the outcomes. I mean, every I think who didn't? I mean, who didn't, bro? You know,
David Duff at $2. An iceberg had more heat than Dakota.
Bro, Kai. I'm gonna shock you. They said it was Dakota Kai's birthday today.
Oh, did they? I missed that.
You know how old she is?
35.
She's 36.
36.
36, bro.
Yeah,
if this woman hasn't gotten over in wrestling by 36,
yeah,
that's a pretty good indication she ain't getting over, bro.
Yeah, she was in NXT for several years.
Wow, so, yeah, I couldn't believe that today, bro.
Yep. Is it safe to say that the only reason why she's in Damage Control is she's the one who can speak fluid English?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, Gen Z Philosophy 199. I think a Tiffany versus Rhea feud would be money. I mean, Vince, I think I'm saying this ad nauseum at this point. I don't care about wrestling feuds, man.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. What would be money, bro? A wrestling match?
Yeah, I don't care. No
wrestling match is money, bro.
I don't care.
No. Andre versus Hogan is money.
Yes.
That build is money. Yes. When the mega powers exploded, yes, that was money.
Hogan Warrior, Royal Rumble, yes, stare down.
Yeah. When Austin got Vince in the ring, that, yes, was money.
Yes.
No one-on-one wrestling match is going. AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes was not money, bro. Yeah.
I don't care, man. I mean, I just, again, if
I'm the same way, Chris,
if you're not giving me a story, man, what am I doing? You know, I'm just watching two people who already know the outcome of a match, just slapping thighs and, you know.
Chris, somebody said it when I was on Twitch today, Chris, and I've said this a million times before. It's like going to see Rocky and the movie is just the fight.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know nothing about Creed. You don't know nothing about Rock. There's no Adrian. There's no Paulie. That's what it's like. You're going to the movie theater, and we're going to see the fight.
I say this all the time, Vince. It's like reading a comic book. People love comic books, or a lot of people who are into wrestling also like comics. That's the reason why there are comic cons a lot. It's like opening a comic book, and the first page you see the fight scene.
Yeah.
Like, why am I going to care about the rest of the comic book? I'm building myself up to the climax, which is the fight scene. But what happens in wrestling all the time is like, oh, if there's a fight scene on page two, there's very little explanation. Fight scene on page four, I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't want to look at this. I want to build here.
And Chris, I mean, how basic is that?
Right.
It's so basic. Right. It's basic, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just when you get to building these, I mean, that's just not a good formula at all to present an episodic fight scene build. I mean, that's just with any movie, with any comic, with any type of fighting type of episode, you're still building up to the big scene. And it's just like, you know, you have like a hero basically destroying a villain who's destroying everybody else. I mean, that's basically comic or hero versus villain 101. And, you know, people are talking to me about two baby faces. That will work. See, that the element of two baby faces work if there's like two different universes, right? And then you have like two baby faces that are like the leaders or the front man of two universes, and then they clash like a Hogan Warrior. If you have a story like that, boom, okay, then that makes something. But people are now, there's a tease with Cody Rhodes and LA Knight. Why do I care about Cody Rhodes versus LA Knight if LA Knight is just another fodder to Cody basically wasting hot time until Rock or Roman comes back? Why, again, Vince, why do I care about this, man? I don't understand it. But then you'll get the "this is awesome" from the Marks. You'll get the "holy bleep" from the Marks. And that's what they live for, man. And they'll continue to cater to that audience until they can't cater anymore, man.
Bro, I swear to God, Chris, this is what I don't understand. The Giants just got swept 4 games by the Phillies. Bro, I've been a Giant fan since 1968. Mm-hmm. Chris, every one of those games, I shut off by the fifth or sixth inning. Mm. Every single one of those games, when I got disgusted, I shut the game. But these fans, bro, I don't understand, bro. Yeah. I don't. They will sit through anything and put it over. I don't get it for the life of me, bro. Yeah,
like I said, it's very cultish, man. I've said that many times before. So they will die for the calls, man. If you're so locked in the calls, you'll die for the calls. And I think a lot of these fans are willing to die for the calls, man. That's the reason why they're there, you know, with a bunch of empty seats.
Yeah.
You have Nazir 199. Whoever wins King of the Ring won't get over. I mean, to Nazir's point, the previous King of the Ring winners were Xavier Woods and Zelina Vega. How much has that propelled their career?
Remember, she came out every week doing this.
Yes,
where'd she go with that?
Nowhere, absolutely nowhere. Lawless $5. I have zero faith in Triple H's creative.
Me too, Lawless, man. Me too. Yeah. What's that going to look like?
Check out our video on Russell Ben's channel of Vince and I talking about that that group forming, and we got into a pretty good in-depth discussion about that. So be sure to check that. I believe it's already released on the Russell Ben's page. So go check that out. Lawless $2. The gorilla shot exposes the business. I mean, what would you say about that, Vince, as far as the gorilla shot?
Bro, you can shoot that same scene with the same idea. It doesn't have to be in gorilla, bro. Yeah. You can do the same exact thing, man. Yeah.
Do you think that is rubbing? Like, you think that's intentionally rubbing in the face of Vince McMahon by doing
that? Bro, they don't care about anything anymore. They don't care. Nothing, bro. Nothing is taboo anymore.
Because Gorilla was such a sacred ground when he was there, man.
Nothing. Nothing is taboo anymore, bro.
Thanks. Michael Pasolano, $4.99. McMahon quad blown out was cut during A&E rival show last night. Seen a Batista Rumble match. Then voiceover said the chairman wants match restarted. Oh, wow. I wonder why they cut the quad spot. Did you see that? You're familiar with that, right?
Yeah.
We got Lawless $2.
That's it.
Dakota Kai is a great.
He told me I was gonna fall in love with her. I'm still waiting, Brian. I'm still waiting. I look at that. I was looking at her today, man, and like her arms are that big around, and so are her legs. They're like that big around, and I'm like, Who could this girl possibly be?
Yeah. Nazir 199. I think you meant to say Rock and Roman is the only money match. I think that would be a fair bill with that. What do you think this new bloodline that we saw be added to on Backlash? What do you think the climax of this is going to be?
Bro, all I know is they've got to. We've got to know who these Samoans are on an individual basis.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying, bro? They've got to have different personalities. They've got to be different kind of people. They can't all just be Samoan killers, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what it looks like it's going to be to me, and I hope it's not.
Yeah. Do you think that the Rock has his own group and Roman has his own group, or Rock and Roman join forces against this rogue bloodline led by Solo?
That's the way I would do it.
The Rock and Roman join forces?
Yeah.
We got Rollin, $2. Dakota Kai at 36 may explain all of her injuries.
Very well. I was just reading some comments from AJ today, where he said, bro, he can't do half of the moves anymore. Yeah. He said, I can't do what I used to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's 47. You'll be 47. Yeah, man. I mean,
right. Of course.
Yeah. We got a tie at $5. What's the best thing to do with NXT? Gut it and rebuild, cancel it and put on a new show, WWE or UFC, or cancel it and give the network back its money. What do you think, Vince? What do you think the best thing to do with NXT is.
Bro, as long as there is a network paying for NXT, there's going to be an NXT. Period. End of story, bro. As long as they are getting money for that, you're going to just see it going on business as usual.
If you were hired by Triple H to be in charge of NXT, what would you do with it? The first three things you would do with it.
Bro, that's hard to say because I have not watched NXT.
Yeah, not knowing. I mean, like, he knows, say Triple H or someone watches this show every week, which they do. Well, someone does, because we've heard references on Raw about us. But say if you were in charge of NXT, they know that you don't really.
I would want to know more. I would really want to get, bro, I would almost make it a cross between NXT and Tough Enough. Okay. Like, I would show the reality of it and how important it is for them to get to the main stage. And I would also tell the story of people that get to the main stage and never get over. Hmm. And, you know, kissing, you know, Shawn Michaels' backside and playing the political game. That's the part of it that I would show. Mm-hmm. Bro, that's the part that wrestling is afraid of. For whatever reason, that's what they're afraid of. And that's the one thing it really, come on, bro. You see the success of these housewife shows. Mm-hmm. What do you think there's New York, New Jersey, Florida, Philly? What do you think there's a million of them, bro? Yeah. Because people love real life drama, bro. That's why that is. And it's funny too, bro, because Dave Meltzer always says, you know, AEW craps the bed in ratings because their opposition is housewives. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anytime Meltzer or anybody else says wrestling numbers aren't good because of another show, I mean, that's basically saying enough right there. I mean, that
the other show's better.
Yeah.
The other show's better, bro. That's why they're watching it. It's better. Exactly.
Yeah. Housewife isn't like, oh, we did numbers. Our numbers weren't well today because Raw was really good. Like, they don't ever do that. We got T-Bone Hubbard, $5. Very special shout out to the Dallas Stars for defeating Las Vegas Golden Knights in Game 7. What a game. What a series. Go Stars. Respect. There
you go. I used to be a big Stars fan, bro, when they were in Minnesota. I was a big – and then when they moved to Dallas, I was still a Dallas Star fan, but I lost my interest for hockey over the years.
Hmm. We got Steve Soleil.
Yeah, Steve loves Natalya, bro.
As an Natalya fan, I'm sick of seeing them disrespect her and constantly making a 16-year-old vet lose. I'm going to stop watching WWE for a few months. I mean, you know, I was thinking about that. I'll let you do a quick rundown of the show here in a minute after of these super chats. But here's the thing, man. So what you say this about Sheamus and a couple other people, that they're just there and they need to be agents, or you said this about the New Day too, then to be agents or something, but their time is up on the main roster from a television standpoint. Do you feel that way toward Natalya too?
Bro, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I've had a lot of DMs with Natalya. Mm-hmm. And bro, I think Natalya kind of falls in that category that a lot of them fall into. Bro, they're afraid to stand up for themselves. Mm. And you think when I say Natalya, you know, Neidhart, bro, that's royalty. Mm. That's not, you know, Dakota Kai. You've got a bloodline from Stu, yeah. Like all the way, you are somebody. You have earned your stripes.
Yeah. Daughter of a Hall of Famer.
And bro, when somebody like that is afraid to stand up for themselves and they've stripped you of all confidence, that just tells you what the system is, bro.
Yeah.
That just tells, now, bro, does that change under Triple H? I don't know, bro. Maybe it does. Mm-hmm. But under Vince, bro, they just I think there are a lot of talent I keep in touch with that just do not fight for themselves, bro.
Vince, it seems like a lot of people get comfortable with their way of living and with making the type of money they do in the WWE. Yep. And they know that they won't make that type of money anywhere else. And they don't want to go away from their type of living. They don't want to, you know, kind of bring it down a little bit and save and just kind of get themselves prepared for just in case a release comes. And because of that, they're like, yes, sir, no, sir. You know what I mean? Because they're so comfortable with their way of living with the money they get from WWE.
Oh, bro, here's the bottom line. Here is the bottom line. Just know you're always going to be unhappy.
True. Sure.
I mean, just know that as long as it is okay for you to go on every single day being unhappy, because you're going to be unhappy.
Yeah. We got Bobby Monsoon, 199, just for appreciation. Thank you very much. Lawless, $5. Lots of super chats tonight. Thank you, guys. Rock has completely exposed how amateur everybody on the roster is. You know, we talked about that before.
Amen, man. Lawless. Amen.
Yeah, I think I've said before, I think it was like over nearly 1.5 million they've lost fans. They've lost on Raw and SmackDown since the Raws, since the Rock has left.
That's the NBA playoffs, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's got to be something else. Absolutely. Yeah. Travis back at 199. These NXT call-ups quotations keep getting less believable.
I mean, bro, again, I'm not going to pick on Lyra Valkyria. Tonight was her debut on Raw.
Yeah.
Did you see any difference with her and Zoe Starks? And we can just go down the list, bro.
Yeah. No.
There's nothing that now. I was getting the Iggy that she's got the spot because she's tight with Becky. Mm. It's got to be something, bro, because I'm watching this debut tonight and I'm not seeing one single thing special.
Yeah. I mean, I don't follow NXT like that, so I don't really know. I don't know her at all, really. And so me not really knowing her, she just seemed like everybody
GLH.
Else. Yeah, like a little hand. Yep. We got Jordan Builds, $10. Chris, love you too, but question for Vince. How much can I pay for a 10-minute phone conversation with you? It's a dream. I know that's lame. LOL, tell me how I can. I will pay whatever. Vince Russo private phone conversations for pay.
Email me, Jordan. Email me officialvincerusso@gmail.com.
Yes, indeed. Let me actually bring that up, man. That's a little side hustle for you. Matter of fact, put your email there.
It's going to cost Chris a lot of money.
You're going to give me a cut for being your agent. Man. That's what you're going to do.
It's going to cost a lot of money, bro.
Officialvincerusso@gmail.com. There you go.
Yes, officialvincerusso@gmail.com.
They have Cameo. Hey, why not have?
Yeah, but he wants to have a conversation.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying if they got Cameo, if you got to pay for someone, you know, cutting a promo for you, you might as well pay for having a phone conversation.
Yeah. There
you go. We got Bobby 199.
I hate when people ask me these questions because I care so little about it, bro. It's not a thought. First of all, bro, they put up the bracket 18 times tonight. I can't even tell you who's in it.
Yeah.
Chris, give me Gunther.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, fair. Gen Z Philosophy 499. Tiff and Rhea are both over, both physically striking, have promo skills and characters.
Okay. Tiff is okay, listen, Gen Z, it's a money match. You're right. It's a money match, bro. It's a big money. Big money. It's Ali Frazier. Big money, bro.
Again, man, Tiff and Rhea are both over. I mean, to who? You know what I mean? To the wrestling fans. Both. Yes, they're physically striking people. Yes, absolutely. I mean, if all
athletes are supposed to be physically striking.
Yes.
So if you're an athlete, you're supposed to be physically striking.
Yeah, yes. You are. Yes, yes. Basketball players.
Let's not get crazy with promo skills. Okay. I don't think Rhea Ripley has great promo skills. So let's stop right there, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And a hot blonde meets a goth. Okay, it's money. It's Ali Frazier, bro. Yeah. It's Ali Frazier.
I'm not convinced, man.
That's one of two, bro. He goes on.
Yeah. Here we go. 499. Other than Jade versus Bianca, can you think of any two women today where there is more fertile or ground to write a story with believable competitiveness? I mean, here's my take on this, Vince. With anyone, there should be fertile ground to write a story to get them over. I mean, absolutely. That's with anybody. It doesn't matter. If you employed someone to be in the WWE, you should have something ready for
great
them.
Point, that's going to put them over. So, absolutely. Yeah. Great point.
Yeah. T-Bone, $10. Shout out to the Lakers for showing the world what they're made of. Zero chemistry, too much take turn basketball. LeBron will never be MJ or Magic. And Shannon Sharp don't know the NBA, stick to NFL. There you go. Very nice. I can't stand the Lakers. I'm a Bulls fan, so I was glad they got eliminated. So
very nice.
We got T-Bone once again, $5. TNA has the system, but I'm scratching my head how this group was formed without explanation. What gives? I just only follow TNA by scrolling on socials. I think the system is Moose, Curt Hawkins, and Eddie Edwards, I believe. And so I know that that's a group because I saw them with the Dolph Ziggler thing, but that's all I got, man. As far as how they formed, I have no idea. No clue, man. When's the last time you've watched TNA on a weekly basis? God,
bro. Oof. When I left, 2012
has been 12 years, huh?
Yep.
We got Jordan Builds, $10. I feel Triple H has removed the E from WWE. Far too many matches and not enough entertainment for my liking. Give me the RK Bro game show, a wedding, something silly, anything but matches and fights. I'm with them there, man.
I'm with you, bro. Yeah. You gotta give me variety or else I'm gonna get bored with it, bro.
I agree for sure. T-Bone, $2. 22 years ago today, WWF becomes WWE. Your thoughts? Yeah, what do you think about that, Vince?
Yeah, I remember when that was going down, bro. I remember right when I left, bro, they had to make the name change because of the World Wildlife Foundation. I remember Vince telling me WWE for the first time.
Mm.
We were riding in the limo, and it was just two of us, and he was explaining the story, and he goes, man, it was all entertainment then.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm thinking of, wrestling entertainment, because
mm-hmm.
that's what it was. And I'm like, yeah. Man, that's good.
Nice. I remember they for a while they were blurring out the logo. They end up legally being able to show the logo publicly now, but for a while they couldn't even show the logo because it was the WWF logo, and they would blur out a bunch of it for years. It was crazy. David, $2. Best book show for casual fans, Heels on Stars. You heard of Heels on Stars?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Likewise, I've heard of it, but never seen it. Peter, what's up, my man? $2. Vince, what's your favorite Tanahashi match?
Nice. Bro, Peter right here, Bahi. Peter Bahi.
Yes, indeed.
Bro, he's got so much heat with Al Snow, bro.
Oh, does he really?
Bro, he wrote me an email about how he can't tolerate Al's scratchy voice, and Al's always hacking on the show, and he had to cancel his membership and this and that. And I read it to Al, bro. I read it to
Al. What did Al say about it?
Oh, bro. Al and Pete, a lot of heat with Peter.
And oh, him. Man. Peter and Al, man. OVW match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Peter's been around forever.
Peter's awesome, man.
My guy. Funny. Tanahashi.
Rollin, $2.
That's a great point, Curtis. She's not a good promo, bro. Not a good promo. Mommy on top is not a good promo.
Yeah, exactly. Rhea Ripley constantly forgets her promo lines, is what Rollin says. All right, give us a rundown of the show.
Not a good promo. My God, bro. That Judgment Day promo with the group hug at the beginning and everything. My God, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible. Chris, here's my biggest problem with this show. I don't understand this. If somebody in Sports Kid Nation, if anybody can give me an explanation Please give it to me. How does Drew McIntyre not come back? What was the point of that? Yeah. CM Punk is saying, you're at a stoplight. Everybody text them. Send them a tweet. You're at a stoplight. Turn the car. How does he not come back?
Yeah, it was such an odd segment.
Can somebody please give me an excuse, an explanation? And that would have never, ever, ever happened in the Attitude Era.
How do you properly wrap that segment up? If he's saying, I'm not going to leave until Drew comes, and all of a sudden he looks at us, he's like, oh, well, I mean, that was just
to Drew. Punk's exact line was, you know, he's telling the people, tweeted Drew to come back. And here's exactly what he said, but he won't come back because he's a coward. Well, you're right. He's right. Drew's a coward. Yeah, you're right, Punk. Drew's a coward. Yep, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. You got the Ricochet backstage. Braun Strowman appears. He doesn't like bullies. That's the reason why he helped out last week. So Pat Mahomes is a bully. Is that the reason why he did what he did?
I already forgot what he did last week.
Remember, Pat was the heel last week when they were in Kansas City.
Oh yeah.
What's next? Io Sky.
Io Sky and Natalya. Io Sky over. Very, very predictable. And then Dakota Kai's got the great line. If you suck, say what? Okay.
Yeah.
Then we got Ricochet and Dragon off. Nobody sold for each other, bro. That was great. No selling. That was terrific.
Yeah, Ilya goes over
there. Then the highlight of the show is who interviewed Sheamus?
Was it Redman?
Yeah, her outfit was the number one highlight of the show, without a shadow of a doubt. What she wore was the highlight of the show. Then you got Stark and Ivy Nile. That's what I'm saying, bro. Both of these girls, Chloe Stark, Ivy Nile, were brought up from NXT, as was Lyra Velcro. What is the difference between these three? Can somebody tell me? What is the difference between these three women? What?
If you ask the fans, the answer is nothing because it was flat.
Back. Right. So you've got an 0-for-3. Yeah. Nobody's ever getting over in a million years. In a million years.
Yeah.
Then you got Pierce and Truth with the UConn coach in the back. It's always entertaining with Truth. So that was entertaining. Then you got Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. And
Bron Breakker appeared after that.
Oh, Bron Breakker. Yeah, so they're going to talk about there's a reason, bro, why he's not in the King of the Ring. Oh, I can't. I'm at the edge of my seat. Then you got Gable and Bronson Reed, and here comes Zayn, and that's now going to be a three-way at King and Queen of the Ring.
Yeah, you forgot the Carlito segment before that. Dominic brought in Carlito for the backstage for Judgment Day. So.
Yeah.
Then we got Gunther's cutting a backstage promo. Yeah.
Bro, what was all the smiling with Becky? Yeah. It's like as a rib. Somebody said to her, you're not smiling enough.
Yeah.
What was going on with her? I understand that these people are awesome. Oh, my God.
That was awkward. That was really awkward.
And then the Kentucky Derby outfit.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Why are you wasting so much time showing a picture of how you looked?
And then she's putting over one NXT wrestler over the next. Yeah. And as she's saying their names, I'm forgetting who they are.
Yeah.
But that's what that segment was for, bro. For her to put over the NXT roster, I guess.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan comes out and Damage Control, and they bail on, Liv bails on Becky, and her good friend Lyra Velcro makes this. And you had your Triple H WrestleMania spot, bro.
Yep.
More putting Vince's face in the dog poop.
Yeah.
Then we had Lyra Velcro beating Dakota Kai.
Kofi's promo was so weird to me.
When Kofi said that, Apollo Creed was a former King of the Ring. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. They'll put it on anybody, bro.
Yeah, the reigning and defending King of the Ring.
And then you had the main event where Sheamus was just blown sky high. Another very, very predictable main event, bro. Just like last week's a six man. It's But they'll tell you it was a great show, bro.
Yeah, and plus, I think this King of the Ring isn't really protecting a lot of the wrestlers either, man. You're just having people – like, you just had Ricochet win the Speed Championship. That's supposed to be a thing, but he just loses the next night.
You see how many names, how many – they're going to milk this thing, bro, for the next 2-3 weeks, man. Yep. That's all it is, to buy time, bro. That's it.
That's right. Yep. All right, let's get through these super chats real quick. We got Rollin $10. I'm the only human who is still stunned that McMahon didn't pass down his $9 billion company to his only son. George Soros simply handed control of his $25 billion company to his third son.
Yeah, Roland, but you know what, bro? We have no idea of the heat, the relay. I mean, bro, for all we know, Shane could have told him he didn't want it. For all we know. You know what I'm saying, bro? Sure. So, and that's a very big possibility, bro. Like, you know, so who knows, bro, the relationships in that family, who knows, man, we'll never know that.
Yeah. T-Bone $5. NBA on TNT and NBA TV will always have better coverage than ESPN, but the NBA on NBC has the best theme from John Tess of Entertainment Tonight. You remember that? That was amazing. Yeah, that was amazing. That was, I'm really big. You know that I'm really big into theme songs, man.
Bro, you should see, Chris, buy this CD. Write this down, bro. You will love this. At Red Rocks here in Colorado, John Tesh, you know, John Tesh is a Christian. He did a concert at Red Rocks, just Christian music.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
Nice.
Phenomenal.
On YouTube or something like that?
YouTube, DVD, CD, bro. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Really cool. Nice.
Yeah, really good. You'll love it.
Let's see. We get Gen Z. $199. Glad you conceded. I'll
leave. There you go. There you go, Gen Z. Very nice. Very nice.
And finally, Zubair, $20. Punk headquarters story would have been a perfect opportunity connecting realism with Drew involved. Plus, agree how the heck McIntyre didn't come back. Should have led to at least the main event segment, like a cliffhanger between the two. Yeah.
Seriously, bro. Like, I would have to think, bro. Maybe Drew ran out of gas.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Something maybe had to happen, bro. That was kabuki-ish.
Or maybe he was supposed to come back, but he didn't want to be there so much that he just turned his phone off. And was like, oh, man, I missed it. I missed the tweets.
That was weird.
Yeah. Let them know about the brand, my man.
Yeah, guys, I want to remind you, if you've never been a Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/Russo. TWC right now and get a free week of the brand. Try us out, sample us. It costs you absolutely nothing.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely nothing. RussosBrand.com/RussoTWC.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, indeed. This guy right here is Vince Russo. I'm Dr. Chris. This is the Legion of Raw. Have a good night, everybody. So long.